Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interview, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisors of all more. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interview, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Craig Dunaway, president of Penn Station East Coast Subs Franchise Opportunity. And Penn Station is a fast casual East Coast style sub sandwich chain that has about 225 restaurants in 12 states. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interview. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years, we've been asking the French to put us one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Craig Dunaway, who is the president of Penn Station East Coast Subs Franchise Opportunity. And Penn Station is a fast casual, East Coast-style sub sandwich chain that has about 225 restaurants in 12 states. And projections call for 25 restaurants in 2011, with 325 total restaurants open by the end of 2013. So get ready to get hungry today. These shows, again, typically kill Don and I. They serve hot and cold subs, fresh, hand-cut, made-to-order French fries, hand-squeezed lemonade, and more. Consistently ranked as one of the top franchise opportunities in the United States by Entrepreneur Magazine, ranked number one restaurant franchise company by Success Magazine in its October 2000 annual ranking of the top 200 American franchises, ranked as one of the top 40 movers and shakers by Fast Casual in its 2007, 2008, and 2009 annual movers and shakers listings. So these guys have gotten some great accolades over the year. Here was some, Don and I were doing some research before the show that he sent me. And these were some, I guess, testimonials from their franchisees. Here's a couple of them. It says, after meeting with Penn Station management for the first time, I was immediately impressed with their attention to detail and strong systems. Their continuous emphasis on the systems along with their solid return on investment has allowed me to grow with the concept. That came from Bob Shillington. He is a franchise in St. Louis, or a franchisee, I should say. We continue to be very enthusiastic about the opportunities that await us as a franchisee for Penn Station. We see the commitment to excellence that is put forth from the franchisor in all aspects of the business. From the freshness of ingredients to detailed operational experience, Penn Station gives you the playbook which can lead you to your success. That word, I circled it earlier on. If you remember, it was a couple weeks back. We met with an organization that helps with athletes or setting up athletes into franchising. And if you think about it, there's like this link or this correlation between, I guess you could say, sports and possibly franchising. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it, you know, that athletes, you know, most of their lives, you know, because they started, most of them started pretty young, following a playbook. They know how to follow a plan, and they also know how to execute, which is very important. So that word definitely stood out. Let's see. It says, this has resulted in a strong line performance and a generous return on investment. The Penn Station brand is very recognizable in our markets and has set itself apart from similar concepts. We're looking forward to another outstanding 25 years of Penn Station as a Penn Station franchisee. Looks like that came from John Dorger, and he is, I think he's also in Cincinnati. Here's another one. I'm a 37-year veteran of the food industry, and I searched for 2 years for a restaurant franchise concept that would fit my financial investment, physical plan, return on investment, growth, and operational parameters. Additionally, I was looking for a concept that offered a truly unique competitive difference with a strong reputation for excellence and loyal customer base. Equally important was having a franchisor that is dedicated to protecting the brand and excellent operations as a means to grow the business rather than market gimmicks. Penn Station has met and exceeded all of these expectations. I like how this gentleman definitely did his homework. You know, I mean, it sounds like he was looking for several years before he found that right opportunity. Here was another one. Every Wednesday, the Bengals ordered out and every Wednesday was Penn Station Day because of the great tasting sandwiches. As I was nearing retirement age in the NFL, I started looking for a nice young franchise opportunity. I liked the idea of a medium-sized franchise where I could walk into the president's office and discuss things. That's not happening at McDonald's. I've been very pleased with my decision to invest with a Penn Station East Coast subs. I can't tell you how often we get the question at franchise interviews, should I go with a big franchise opportunity or should I go with a small franchise opportunity or a medium? And there's advantages, of course, to both. One of the things I love about the smaller franchise opportunities, again, comparing it to like a McDonald's or a KFC or a Subway, is, as this gentleman said, try calling the president and see if you can talk to him about the franchise. See if he calls you back. chances are he's probably not going to. You're not going to hear from him. So you'll hear from someone in franchise development, or someone in their franchising department. So, again, there's advantages and disadvantages. We actually have a whole clip in our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast that addresses that particular issue. And so if you get a chance, take a listen to that. You can go to franchiseinterviews.com, scroll down to the bottom and hit Great Quotes in Franchising, and kind of get to hear clips from some of like the highlights of the show from the last 4 years. So looking forward to today's show. August 18th, next week, again, we're going to get hungry again, fresh to order. We're meeting with Pierre Panos, who is the founder and chief executive officer for the franchise. Fresh to Order F2O is an innovative franchise restaurant concept that fuses quality American cuisine, gourmet fresh ingredients, and fast service to offer incredible food service in less than 10 minutes for around $10. The company currently has 6 locations, and projections call for signing at least 5 multi-unit franchisees in 2011 with total commitments of 15 to 20 restaurants. So that should be a very interesting show. August 25th, we're meeting with Great Play. So we're kind of shifting gears a bit at the end of the month. And Great Play, this is an interesting opportunity. This is first opened in Stamford, Connecticut by fitness buffs Gile and Keith Comhai. The franchise gym concept for kids offers fun-filled motor skill sports skilled and physical education classes for children ages 6 months through fifth grade, as well as birthday parties. There's currently 7 locations with 4 gyms opening soon. About 20 locations are expected by the end of 2012. Great Play is redefining the youth physical development category with an innovative new collection of programs, delivered a patent-pending interactive arena. It gets you curious, doesn't it, what it is, that makes developing skills fun and easy for children. And we've packaged it all into a step-by-step blueprint to help franchisees turn their passion for youth fitness into a thriving business. So this should be very interesting. Looking forward to having those guys on the show. And that's going to be towards the end of the month. That's August 25th. We'll be meeting with Keith on that particular show. September 1st, hard to imagine we're saying September already. Right at Home, which I've probably mentioned on a dozen occasions since starting the show 4.5 years ago. It was one of the first interviews we did for our newsletter way back when. And Right at Home is a privately held provider of in-home elder care assistance. It was founded in 1995 by Alan Hagar, a hospital administrator who was concerned patients needed additional assistance after their discharge from hospitals. Right at Home generates more than $170 million in annual revenue through its 200-plus, looks like, franchisees across the United States, the UK, and Brazil. Outlets are franchise-owned and operated, and staff-skilled professionals trained to provide home-based care for thousands of clients daily. Great franchise opportunity. I would say these guys were one of the first senior care franchise opportunities out there, but they did get in the game pretty early. It was back in 1999. I did an interview with the LA Times, and you know, they asked me what industry to look out for, and I said senior care. And at that time, you know, there wasn't a lot of senior care franchises out there. And I'm amazed today when I look, you know, at the list of senior care franchises, how many there are. We've had, I think it's about six on our show up to this point. And again, same concept for all of them, but, you know, all of them have, you know, little, like, different twists and turns, which make them a little unique. They have unique selling propositions on why you would, you know, choose one over the other. Again, this goes back to research. So I think, you know, sometimes I say I feel bad for the franchisee in, you know, looking for a franchise in the sense that there's just so much out there to choose from. You know, it's just, where do you begin? So, you know, when someone says they took 2 years to make that decision, it doesn't really surprise me that it took that long. So that should be a very interesting show. We just got word yesterday. I'm so excited. You know, one of the great things about hosting franchise interviews, and I've said this a dozen times, is that, you know, every so often you get to interview someone that you truly admire. And one of those people for me is Warren Gresius. He is in the Hall of Fame of Speakers. And if you haven't heard him speak, we've had him on the show twice up to this point. And every time we have him on the show, He's very inspiring. He's really one of the best. And he's coming out with a new book. He wrote a book called The Best Damn Sales Book Ever. And I think his new book is called The Best Damn Management Book Ever. And so, you know, I think Warren's going to be sending us a copy of that. So looking forward to seeing that. I don't even think it was released yet. So we'll be talking about his new book. And I'm just really excited to have Warren back on the show. So don't miss that one. We're going to keep talking about that every week as we get closer to that particular date. And that'll happen actually after our five-year anniversary show, 250 shows, if you can imagine, up to this point. So just really incredible. Let's see. Our last show, it was a very interesting show. We met with Juice It Up. We met with Frank Easterbrook, who's a very interesting individual. He has an incredible background when you talk to him. These guys were first launched in 1995. Juice It Up is a franchise smoothie and juice bar chain with more than 90 locations. The company anticipates opening between 6 to 10 new locations by the end of 2012. Their description, if you missed the show, they're a franchise smoothie and juice bar chain that specializes in blended-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, fresh-squeezed juices, and other beverages served in a relaxed, friendly environment. Juice It Up combines fruit, proprietary fruit juices, non-fat yogurt, sherbet, and nutritional vitamin supplements to create smoothies that are consistently voted best-tasting in blind taste tests amongst top smoothie and juice bar chains. So that was a great show. You know, this is really a great business to go into. In the sense, if you're watching what trends are taking place here in the United States, you know, people are, of course, more health conscious, and you notice that every single day. And, you know, for someone like myself who, I hate to say it, you know, is not a big fruit and vegetable person, it's, for me, is a great alternative because I understand that it is truly great tasting. So just a fantastic show. So take a look into that one. You can go back and listen to it. This week we did a podcast with a king, if you can imagine, and how often you get to talk to a king. We met with Joel LaBava, and Joel LaBava is, I classify him as a franchise expert, he's a franchise consultant. He's been in franchising a very long time. I don't want to age Joel, but he's been doing this a very long time. Knows so much about franchising. When you're in the game for buying a franchise, typically what you get is a franchise disclosure document, you know, and Joel answers the question, well, what do you do once you actually get that? So I thought
hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, which podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and slowly approaching 250 shows, if you can imagine. And during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from a king. And how often do you get to hear from a king? We'd be speaking to the franchise king, Joel LaBava. And we had Joel on our show two times in the last 4 years, and he really is probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the topic of franchising. Of course, Joel gave his opinion on as far as like what to do once you get the FDD, the importance of first impressions. So listen to what Joel had to say. I think you'll be very interested.
Well, it's real life stuff. You know, I've worked with hundreds of people in the past several years, and the ones that have followed the process the right way and decide to get into franchising are definitely more prepared than folks that are just going to go out and buy a Subway or something. Nothing wrong with Subway, but to go out and buy a Subway just because they think it's popular, you know, they don't do the research. The research is the key.
Sure, absolutely. And I think most people, Joel, you know, not to be condescending to our listeners, but I think they simply just don't know how to research, you know. And
yeah.
You know, it shows exactly like in a step-by-step process how to do all that, you know. It's just so important, the research process.
It is.
I mean, it's intimidating. I mean,
it is intimidating.
It's a whole life-changing. It's a big investment, or it could be. And then you're getting all this information. You know, someone needs that coach, that person, that consultant to help them. So they call up a franchise, the FDD gets delivered to them. You know, what do you suggest that they do from there, Joel?
Well, they're going to get they'll reach out to the franchisor, yeah. And the franchisor hopefully will follow up within a day, and they'll get a packet in the mail, and the franchisor will ask them nicely to look it over, and then to schedule a conference call.
Right.
And that first conference call, I think, is one of the most important parts of the whole process. The franchisor isn't really doing any selling at that point. They're kind of seeing if they like you, and you're kind of feeling things out to see if you like them, just kind of as a person first, because you're going to be interacting for weeks with this franchise director.
Do you recommend that the buyer prospect, the franchisee, does their homework and knows quite a bit about that franchise they're looking at, or is that still a little too soon?
A little too soon. You know, at first glance, people are attracted to certain franchise opportunities because they think they're popular, or they think that they're needed in their neighborhood,
right.
Or they've heard about something. Just approach it with an open mind. Get the brochure, whether it's electronic or whether it's snail mail, and look over the brochure, write some questions down as you go, and that way you're prepared for the conference call. But the research part, you're just at the beginning. See if you like what the franchise director has to say first.
Right. Right, absolutely. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been in like a Dunkin' Donuts store or a Subway, you know, and just standing on line and someone next to you says, God, I wish I owned one of these.
Wish I had one of these, yeah.
Right, just because it's the fact that it's crowded, you know.
Right.
It's a terrible reason to
terrible
franchise, you know.
Terrible reason. You know, what are the chances that you have something in common with the owner of that Dunkin' Donuts or that Subway? You know, it looks good on the outside, and
sure.
There's nothing wrong with the food franchise, but I hope you know what you're getting into.
Right, absolutely.
And that's where you come in, to really do all the behind-the-scenes things and to make sure they're asking themselves all the questions that maybe they haven't thought of. That's going to be imperative to make sure they're happy in whatever business they choose.
That's right. And you know, I don't know if you went down far enough on the page that I have set up for the book, but a good friend of mine, Sean Kelly, who's also another pretty popular franchise blogger, suggested that I include a half hour of my time for people that invest in this book, and that's what I've done. So people can arrange to talk to me for a half hour on the phone. And bounce their ideas off of me. I'm not going to sell them anything. I'm not going to try to switch them to an opportunity that I work with. I just want to talk to them and tell them that, yeah, you're doing the research the right way. You're headed the right direction.
Exactly.
So I'm doing that now.
And I guess, and this is something Marty and I have preached on, you know, just about every show, that when someone's researching a franchise, it's so imperative to call and speak to the other franchisees that's listed in the FDD, and you even recommend going to visit the franchisees and to just ask a lot of questions. You know, why should someone do all this, Joel?
It's amazing that a lot of people that I've talked to that have come to me a little too late and said, boy, Joel, I wish I would have talked about you, or I wish I would have known about your book. They all say the same thing. Oh, I didn't talk to any franchisees.
That's incredible.
And I said, why not? Well, the franchise director, you know, they said I didn't have to, or, you know, I'm perfect for the business. You know, you got to talk to the people that are actually doing it and that took the risk already. That's what it's about. These people took the risk. They're not getting paid by the franchise company to say good things.
Right.
You know, so talk to the people that are doing the business. see if, you know, see if there's some stuff in common.
Yeah, and I think that's something that helps you sleep better at night, Joel, you know, is it kind of gets rid of that nervousness, because this is a very big investment, you know. It's just a lot of times, you know, Don, and I think you as well, you compare it to a marriage, you know.
Yeah.
It's that big, you know, so it really is so important that you have all the facts, and I suspect that there's a lot of people out there that don't have all the information that they actually need to make the decision.
No, and they're making the decision on emotion. They're
exactly.
Not making it on facts.
Absolutely.
And what's the percentage of people who eventually invest in a franchise? It was over 90.
You can actually hear that whole interview by going to franchiseinterviews.com. You can do a Google search, type in Joel LaBava, Franchise Interviews, and it's kind of all over the place. So why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. I see our guest Craig has called in, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Craig Dunaway, president of Penn Station East Coast Subs Franchise Opportunity. And Penn Station is a fast casual East Coast style sub sandwich chain that has about 225 restaurants in 12 states, and projections call for 25 restaurants in 2011. With 325 total restaurants open by the end of 2013. Hey, Craig, how you doing today? Welcome to the show. Oops, it sounds like you're breaking up a little, Craig. Can you hear me okay? Oops, sounds like we're having some technical difficulties. Maybe, Craig, you could perhaps call back in and... Okay, it'll sound like a better line. It sounds like maybe it might be Craig's calling from maybe like a cell phone or something. Why don't we do this? We have let's just play a quick clip while Craig
Hi, everyone.
Is,
this is Marty McDermott from Franchise
calling
Interview,
back
and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. We each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews for over 2 years now with over 110 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Barry Falcon, who's one of the founders of the Shelf Genie franchise concept. And, you know, a lot of times if you're a listener to our show, you know that Don and I compare franchising in many instances to a marriage, not to diminish the sanctity of marriage, but it really is, in some instances, that big. Barry had a wonderful quote. We're going to call this podcast Data Little, and I think it's going to make a little more sense as we dive deeper into it. So enjoy.
Let's see. I think we got it. So we'll play that clip at the end of the show. Let's see if I can bring Greg back in. Hey, Greg, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you perfect. That sounds so much better. Thanks, Greg. It's great to have you on the show. We're excited to have you today. You know, these shows typically make us a bit hungry, but I wanted to congratulate you on the success of Penn Station, Craig. We see in the beginning of the show we were announcing, I guess you guys were consistently ranked as one of the top franchise opportunities in the United States by Entrepreneur Magazine. You guys were ranked number one restaurant franchise company by Success Magazine, ranked as one of the top 40 movers and shakers by Fast Casual and for many years. So congratulations on all that. I mean, I think that's fantastic. It sounds like you're doing a very good job over there.
Well, I appreciate that. We really attribute our success to a couple of different things. It's I think first and foremost, it's our franchisee base, because they're the ones on the front line every day. And then I think secondly, it's a consistent product that our franchisees serve to consumers.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, that's, we were reading testimonials from your franchisees in the beginning of the show, you know, and that seemed to be the theme of Penn Station. You know, there's something interesting. It was one of the one of your franchisees, I think it was Max Montoya, he was saying that he liked the idea of a medium-sized franchise where he could walk into the president's office and discuss things, you know, and he said, you can't do that with McDonald's and you can't do that with Subway. And you know, we tell our listeners all the time, Craig, we say, try it, you know, try calling the president of McDonald's up and you know, see if he can answer a question about the franchise, and you'll never get him to call you back, you know. So I think that's, again, another great advantage of going into, you know, a medium size type of franchise like yours.
Well, we believe that the key to any successful relationship, we strongly believe, is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone at Penn Station has an open-door policy with respect to our franchisees. We've got a franchisee advisory council, which is a consortium of five ladies and gentlemen from different regions of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is most of the changes that come through the system come from our franchisees. You know, we listen to their questions and their concerns, and, you know, we don't do everything that they want to do. We first and foremost, we have to have an eye on the integrity of the brand, and,
right.
And sometimes smaller franchisees have pet projects that they like that, you know, for the greater good of 225 restaurants, as you mentioned, may not be the best thing, but we listen and evaluate every idea, regardless of its merit, frankly.
Yeah, that's so important. We would like to ask our guest, where you're calling from this morning, Craig.
I'm calling from our corporate offices in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, fantastic. And I know you have an interesting background. If you could just tell our listeners, you know, maybe a little bit about what you were doing before, you know, coming to Penn Station and working with the organization.
Well, my background actually came through the world of public accounting. I was a partner at a regional accounting firm in Louisville, Kentucky, one of the largest regional firms at the time, and I practiced public accounting for 15 years.
Wow, that's great.
My segue into the restaurant industry was actually in the mid to late 80s. I became a Papa John's franchisee, another gentleman and I who has since moved on and is doing other things. He and I became Papa John's franchisees very early on in that concept. And when we became franchisees, we were one of the first franchisees to enter the Papa John's system. So fortunately, I was able to see a very successful concept start from the ground up.
It's interesting. I would say it's a good sign when a franchisee, their background was they were an accountant in their previous life, you know, because that says a lot, you know, because they know how to read the financial statements, you know, so they know that they're onto something, you know. So I think that's a great sign. The Penn Station has an interesting history. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the history of the company?
Sure. Our founders and CEO is a gentleman by the name of Jeff Osterfeld, and mm-hmm. Jeff comes from a family of entrepreneurs, and mm-hmm. Jeff went to Miami University and graduated in 1982, and while Jeff was in school, he had to do a research project, and he just happened to pick a restaurant concept, and was, I don't want to say he was fascinated by it, I think intrigued is a better word, and
right.
When Jeff graduated with that eye on a family of entrepreneurs, he saw his buddies going to work for large companies and being transferred all over the country, and Jeff said, man, this is just not for me. So in 1983, he opened Jeffrey's Deli up in Dayton, Ohio. You know, Jeff's a bright guy, but I think at the time he wasn't sure what he was doing. He just knew he wanted to work for himself.
Right.
And he played around with that for a couple of years, and what wound up happening, it was a little bit serendipity. What happened for Jeff is one of our competitors at the time opened up in the mall where Jeff was, and suddenly there was a line outside, you know, of their stand with people ordering cheesesteaks. And at the time, Jeff didn't even know what a cheesesteak was. He was selling deli items. And that really was the start of Jeff saying, hey, I'm going to research this and find out what a cheesesteak and what East Coast subs right. are all about.
Wow. It's a great story. It's kind of like something I think our listeners can relate to now. You know, I mean, we've seen, Craig, you know, a lot, you know, I know you've seen it, a lot of people downsize from, of course, corporate America, you know, and it seems like, you know, in doing the research that a lot of people are hesitant to go back to corporate America, you know. So I think franchising might be an alternative for a lot of these people. Have you seen that?
We've seen a little bit of it. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, when I was listening to your, I was actually listening to the last gentleman you were interviewing, and I think that, you know, franchising is a great opportunity for people, but I think that people have to be cautious when they leave a big job in corporate America to go into,
yeah.
Say, the restaurant industry. It's different, and
right.
it's unique, and it's not an intellect thing. It's just a different type of job. You know, you're very grassroots and getting dirty every day. And
right.
you know, what we see people who come to us in what you just described, you know, someone has a mom who had a great chili recipe and suddenly they want to own their own restaurant. And I'm not sure that's the right reason. Just as your guy described
right.
earlier with standing in line thinking, gee, this place is crowded. I need to own one of
those. Yes, exactly. Oh, it's something. We've seen that. It was funny. We had there was an organization on our show. It was about, I guess, 2-3 weeks ago, Craig. And they work with professional athletes, helping them get into franchising or presenting franchising as an alternative. And I think I saw in one of your the testimonials from your franchisees. I think he might have played for the NFL, if I remember correctly.
That's right. Max Montoya, who you mentioned.
There you go. Okay, that was
ago.
Max. Okay. And just, you know, I thought, you know, that was interesting. What have been some of the backgrounds of you know, your franchisees before getting involved with Penn Station?
Well, most all of our franchisees have come to Penn Station with previous restaurant experience. And
right.
for those who haven't, we've asked them to partner with someone who does have restaurant experience.
Mm, okay,
so,
good.
You know, what we're looking for, and I think what I would look for if I were out there looking for a franchise concept, is we want to teach people our systems and procedures, but we don't really
right.
want to teach them the restaurant industry per se.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. And when someone, let's say you guys are at a franchise show, Craig, and you have to describe the franchise system, what do you typically say to them?
Well, when I'm describing Penn Station, I tell them that we're a pretty simple concept. We're 14 grilled hot subs. We're fresh-cut fries made from Idaho potatoes, and we're fresh-squeezed lemonade. And I mentioned this is one of the first things. Our eye is on quality, But the second thing that we look for really is it's an operational focus of trying to keep the menu and the operation simple and clean and tight for our franchisee, because anything that we do to complicate operations, there's a cost involved. And ultimately what we're selling is return on investment. And if we can't produce a superior return on investment to either other concepts or just other businesses, then investors are going to look somewhere else besides Penn Station.
Yeah, well said. And typically, I mean, those do make the best franchises, don't they, is if the concept is simple. I find that, you know, as long as I've been studying franchising for over a decade, you know, as you said, the more complicated things get, the more you add to it, it's just, it's almost like it doesn't become a franchise anymore, you know. It becomes
I agree. You know, what goes into adding a product to the menu, I don't think most people would recognize the complexity of that. When you're talking about having to, you know, go out and spec a new product and then bring it into your distributor and try to time that with getting out to, you know, either 225 or 2,500 restaurants to distribute that, that is a monumental task. And you can add something to the menu and at the end of the day not make any money on it at all. So when you're trying to maximize that return on investment to the people who invested in you, that becomes critical to analyze all of those things. It's not about, to me, it's not about driving royalty. You know, our revenue comes from a royalty stream, which is based upon franchisee sales. So if you think logically about this, we would in theory want to drive sales as high as possible for franchisees. That's true to the extent that we're making sure that they're maximizing their return on investment, because if they're not making money, then we're wasting their time.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see how your accounting background or your past life, you know, you've been able to apply it to really what you're doing now is talking in terms of return on investment, which Don and I, you know, talk about frequently on the show, how it's so important, you know, to look towards those things. Very interesting. So the industry is pretty big. I mean, are there any numbers or current numbers for this industry, Craig?
You know, before I got into the restaurant industry, I had probably a naive view, like most people in the public eye, of just often the restaurant industry is a beginning job for people in high school or college. And as I became a Papa John's franchisee, and the more I got involved through working with franchisees in the world of public accounting, you know, what I found out was that the restaurant industry employs about 13 million people, and there's over 575,000 restaurants in the country right now. What amazes me, it's a $580 billion industry. So, you know, to think it's a low-end job or a starting job really couldn't be further from the truth. There's obviously a lot of people who get their, you know, their first taste of work through restaurants, but that's really the, I don't want to say that's the exception, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, I agree. How has technology played a role with Penn Station? I mean, I imagine things have changed a bit, you know, over the years from when the company first started to where you are today. So what role has technology played in the business, Craig?
It's really played two roles for us. One is trying to ensure that we're more efficient with our customers, because I think we would all admit over the last 10 to 15 years with the advent of smartphones and Blackberries just email and voicemail that consumers are ever more taxed for their time. So what we've tried to do first with our technology is to make sure that it expedites the process for the customers. We want to get them in and out of our restaurants as efficiently as they want, and we don't want them to have to stand in line and wait for us to do something that technology would, you know, could fix. For example, the accuracy of our, you know, of our orders, and just using technology to that advantage. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, and it goes back to your point about my financial background, is to give franchisees the management tools to run their business more profitably and successfully. You know, we strongly believe that for financial data to be relevant, it needs to be timely. And the more real time we can make that financial data through technology, the better for our franchisees. You know, when you make decisions – about whether or not to send people home at a slow period during the day.
Right.
You need to know what impact that is on your bottom line. So it's those two things. It's the eye on the customer, and then it's management tools to improve the efficiencies and profitability for the franchisees.
It is amazing when you look back. You wonder how some, you know, these you know, sub places that were able to get along. I mean, doing this, you know, for, you know, 30, 40 years, what it was like in the beginning without the technology. You wonder how they're able to come so far, you know, because it does seem like, you know, that information does become very powerful, you know, for the franchisee and of course, the franchisor. So you wonder sometimes how you ever lived without it, you know. So it truly is fascinating. So once someone decides to say, okay, I want to become a franchisee, what happens after that, Craig? I mean, what is the training like for your new franchisees? Do they come to headquarters, or what happens after that?
Well, once a decision has been made by Penn Station to approve a franchisee, and once that franchisee has, has approved Penn Station,
mm-hmm.
we put them through a fairly intensive three-week training program. And that is the purpose of that training program is to teach them how to run a Penn Station restaurant successfully and profitably.
Mm-hmm.
The byproduct of that is, how do you make our 14 grilled subs, or how do you make our fresh cut fries, or how do you keep the
right.
restaurant clean? But we're really
right.
teaching them over that 3 week period how to run a restaurant successfully, because if they have one restaurant, their business is that, and they're the CEO of that business. So
right.
our training program is designed with that thought in mind.
That's interesting. How would you describe a typical day as a franchisee? I mean, from, I guess you could say, the moment they come in to when they go home at night. I mean, and what happens in between, Craig?
Well, most of our franchisees are multi-unit franchisees, meaning
mm-hmm.
that they either started with one restaurant and
right.
Went to more than one, or they came in with an eye on wanting to open multiple units out of the gate. So what we try to teach them in the training program and throughout is to let systems and procedures dictate what they do on a daily basis. Because as franchisees continue to grow, when you get one restaurant, you can typically outwork most of the problems. But as you expand to a second and a third, there are only 24 hours in a day. And you need to let systems and procedures dictate what you do. And when you do that, you wind up being proactive and anticipating problems as opposed to being a fireman putting out problems all of the time.
Right.
So what our franchisees spend a lot of time doing in the morning is reviewing and evaluating their numbers. They're looking at
mm-hmm.
sales trends. They're looking at labor, and they're ensuring that the profitability within their business is there, because our business comes in $7.50 increments. So you need to ensure that you're being efficient with that.
Right.
The second thing that they do throughout the day is they spend a lot of time engaging their guests, and they spend a lot of time engaging their crew. You know, our most important
mm-hmm.
asset to people. I don't want that to sound cliche-ish. It's
right.
the person on the front line taking care of a customer over a 15-minute period. So our successful franchisees spend a lot of time ensuring their employees are properly trained on how to treat the guest, and they're spending a lot of time with their guests to make sure they were treated the way they'd want to be treated.
Interesting.
It's really
so it sounds like I was going to say, Craig, is it the characteristics then, I guess, of a franchise, it's probably something else you guys look for as well, is I guess you could say, strong interpersonal skills, in addition to having that restaurant experience, is maybe perhaps management skills or interpersonal skills, or, of course, strong communication skills, I guess, would come in handy to be a Penn Station franchisee as well, would you say?
Absolutely. It's really an interesting, there's somewhat of a dichotomy of what you want. You want someone, as a franchisor, we want
mm-hmm.
a franchisee who is an independent thinker. We want them to be able to fix and resolve problems on their own. But at the
mm-hmm.
same time, we need someone who's an entrepreneur who is willing to follow systems and procedures, because if you've got...
Right.
You know, if you've got 75 or 750 franchisees out there being rogue and doing their own thing, they may be successful, but you don't have a brand. And
exactly.
So a Penn Station cheesesteak needs to taste the same in Richmond, Virginia, as it does in Cincinnati, Ohio. Or you know, pick a big brand we know, McDonald's. They need to make sure the Big
right.
Mac in Bangor, Maine, tastes the same as it does in Boise, Idaho. It's
exactly.
about consistency.
Well said. What about the location factor, Craig? I mean, what kind of space do your franchisees look for? How much space do they need, and what is, like, I guess you could say, the ideal location?
You know, the ideal location, I think picking sites is part art and part science.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking
yeah.
from a square footage standpoint anywhere, for Penn Station at least, between about 1,600 and 1,850 square feet.
Okay.
What you need to recognize, if you go below that, it makes it very inefficient because people are stepping on top of each other. And
right.
if you go much larger than that, you know, rents are expensive, and when you're paying a cost per square foot, that can cost you a lot of money over a 20-year lease. So you're looking for ingress egress, which is the ability to get in and get out of the space.
Right.
You're looking for great visibility and traffic flow. I don't think traffic flow is the end all, but you certainly want to make sure you're on a thoroughfare where people are driving up and down the road. And typically
right.
what we look for is we look for an end cap space. You want something so that when people are going past the building, they can see glass and they can see inside and they can see a lot of activity. I think nothing sells cheesesteaks more than a line where people are driving by and they see a line of customers and they think, wow, this place must be pretty good because there's a line out the door.
I agree. Well said. So the majority of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. Craig, what would you say to them from all your business experience and being involved in franchising? What advice would you give to them?
Well, I think first, it's a marriage. When you spend as a prospective
yeah.
franchisee, when you're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars with someone, you need to recognize that you're going to be in business with them for 20 years.
Yeah.
And if you go into that thinking that you are changing, you're going to change the mindset of the franchisor, or if there's something you would like to see on the menu that they don't
right.
have that you can convince them, that more
yeah.
than likely is not going to happen. So I would want to know, it's a marriage. I would want to feel
yeah.
very comfortable with the person who I'm going to be working with over a 20-year period. And I would want to understand what their long-term goals are. There's concepts out there in the restaurant industry that I'm not sure they spend as much time focusing on making the restaurant successful as they focus on maybe selling restaurants. And I think
yeah,
that
I
there's
agree.
A difference between the two. It doesn't make
yeah.
anyone right or wrong, but you need to understand what the long-term goals are of that concept and what their intentions are. I would look to that. I would look to how well they communicate with their franchisees. And as your first guest said, I would want to talk to other franchisees and get a feel for the climate with are the other franchisees, do they feel positively about the leadership? Do they feel positive
mm-hmm.
about the brand? This is what the concept told me. Can I take that to the bank? If the leadership of the company tells me something, do you question it, do you challenge it, or do you know it's gospel? And I think one of the most important things that I would look to that, you know, the Federal Trade Commission is set up where we are required to complete a franchise disclosure document that is
mm-hmm.
really there to protect the franchisee.
Right.
But only about 20% of the brands disclose profitability or numbers, earnings claims is what it's called,
right.
in item 19. And
That's
I would
right.
want to know if they disclose that, and if not, why do they not disclose it? Because you're getting in business to make money. You know, that's
exactly.
why you're investing your capital and your hard-earned money. So I would want to know if they did not disclose earnings, why is that?
So it sounds like you guys disclose it then, Craig.
We absolutely
which
do.
Which is,
you
of
know,
course.
I
so you guys are one of the 20%,
out.
Which is great. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice to any aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise. Fantastic. So what do you, we know a little bit about your plans for the future. We see that there's going to be some growth taking place with Penn Station. What else? Any other plans for the future?
Well, the growth that we try to aspire to out of Cincinnati, Ohio, is a concentric mm-hmm. circle. We don't believe that it's prudent at this point to jump all over the country. When you go out of Cincinnati and open up into a new market, there's really three things that you need. You need logistics, which is the ability to get the food to that restaurant. You need brand recognition. And you need the ability for Penn Station to help and support you through oversight. And the further away we go outside of Cincinnati, the more difficult that becomes. To specifically answer your question, we're in approximately 25 major markets right now.
Right.
And there's about five or six of those where we really feel that we can grow a lot over the next 3 to 4 years. Chicago, Kansas City, which we're just getting ready to go into, Charlotte, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Pittsburgh. Those are markets that have the ability to open anywhere between 20 and 30 Penn Station. You take Chicago, it's a huge market, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We've got three restaurants in the greater Chicago area. Chicago's a 150-store market for us.
Yeah.
So what we do, I've said many times, we're selling return on investment. It becomes a numbers game. If you have two restaurants in Charlotte with the ability to open 25, those three bullet points that I mentioned of logistics and brand oversight and helping franchisees, that becomes much easier once you're in an existing market. So it will be staying in that concentric circle somewhat.
That's great. What's the best way, Craig, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Any websites they can go to? Any phone numbers they should call?
Well, if they're interested in Penn Station, what I would recommend they do is go to penn-station.com. That explains a lot about who we are and what we do and why we do it. The website discloses some information with respect to financial requirements and again, with thinking about what I said about a marriage, who we are and how we think and what we look for in franchisees also.
Absolutely. And you guys have a great website, by the way. It's very informative. There's a lot of great information on there. So
I
want to thank you
that.
Again, Craig. You've been a fantastic guest. And Don and I are going to watch you guys, and we'd like to have you come back next year if you like.
We'd love to do that. Penn Station, appreciate the time you guys took to speak with us today.
Thanks so much, Craig. You have a great day today.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Take care. You're welcome.
Thanks,
that was
bye-bye.
Great. So why don't we do this? We'll take another quick break, and we'll come back and we'll play that second clip that we have from our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
I want to thank Craig Dunaway again, president of Penn Station East Coast Subs Franchise Opportunity. It's just a great franchise, and we're going to keep our eyes on it. Donna, we'll have them back, or we'll invite them back next year as they continue to grow. So what do we do is we have another clip that we're going to play. It's called Date a Little, and it comes from our Great Quote and Franchising podcast, and it's kind of in sync with what Craig was talking about on the show, comparing this whole thing to a marriage. And if you compare it to a marriage, of course, you want to date a little. So take a listen to this.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. We're each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews for over 2 years now with over 110 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Barry Falcon, who's one of the founders of the Shelf Genie franchise concept. And, you know, a lot of times if you're a listener to our show, you know that Don and I compare franchising in many instances to a marriage, not to diminish the sanctity of marriage, but it really is, in some instances, that big. Barry had a wonderful quote. We're going to call this podcast Data Little, and I think it's going to make a little more sense as we dive deeper into it. So enjoy. You're going to hear a message from our sponsor, and then again, Data Little Podcast, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
We have over 50 locations. A lot of times, you know, people don't want to invest until they feel comfortable with the people at the top, so imagine you guys doing a good job in that area.
Well, you know, we have Discovery Day, and what, like I think you mentioned, it is a marriage. So people have to get along with, you know, with Alan and I, basically, because we're the leading the company at this point. And so it is part of a relationship. We bring them in for Discovery Day and spend a whole day with them and talk to them and also learn a little about their background, what their needs
right.
are, what they're looking for, and not everybody is a good fit on either side. They might not like us, and we might not like them. But so
right.
it's not always a good fit. But you know, sometimes you date a little before you get married. And so we're looking for long-term relationships. So it's a 5-year franchise agreement with renewals, and we're looking to keep that going.
So staying on that topic, as far as it has to be right fit on both sides, what are the type of characteristics that you look for in a franchisee, Barry?
Well, we look for somebody that has a smile on their face with a little outgoing personality and understands sales and marketing. And so and they have to understand that advertising and marketing is an investment, not an expense. So, you know, folks that see that and are, you know, either have run businesses before or just understand business and been done in some home sales, just any kind of business experience is really great. We have an extensive training program, but conversely, somebody that came out of being a CPA, maybe not our ideal candidate if they're just looking at expenses and how to cut costs versus how to grow the business. And so we really like to have people that are outgoing, like to deal.
Hi, I love that expression, date a little. I think it was a great segue into a great theme for today's show. Kind of talking about marriage and relationships and all that other stuff. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Go to franchiseinterviews.com, go franchise.com, franchisefunding.net. You can listen to our shows on live365.com now by going to franchiseinterviews.com and clicking the live365.com link. And again, we have another great show next week. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you soon.